I didn't say anything about this morning, but as you can see, we're locating the computer recording series in various locations so that we can check the sound. And by the time Brother Banks gets here for the gospel meeting on the 28th and through that Thursday evening, the 1st of August, we'll be able to have it recorded in an optimal way. And as a result of that, we'll be able to have him on the internet by about the time he gets home, the afternoon to evenings that he gets to do these things. So we're glad to have the little studies. Now, noting the sound from one place to another, and the, believe it or not, in the practice sessions in this auditorium without anybody in here, there's a different sound even though they're located at the places that they are on Sundays. And so with bodies here, extra people here, and I hope even more by the way of the gospel meeting, we have a good opportunity to check the sound and ahead of time, and that's what we're doing with these lessons. In Luke chapter 16, the idea of hope is certainly one that is important to some people that are involved here. In Luke chapter 16, we read in regard to these particular matters, and we read regarding a certain man and a certain person, beginning verse 19, that is described in this way. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He continues Luke 16, verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Continuing here in Luke 16, verse 29. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. When this rich man, as is described here, had his great time here upon this earth, he was looking for the only material type of things to gauge his life. He had those wealthy things. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. In reference to this situation that occurred, we might get the thought of mind that because he was poor, rich, and Lazarus was poor, that they ended up where they ended up. They ended up on life's other side, referred to as hell in this passage. It's really the word Hades, the place of the dead. And the place of the dead is separated by a great gulf in which there is one side for the paradise of Abraham and this poor man Lazarus. And on the other side, there is a place of torment wherein this rich man was lodging and fearful that his brothers also would come into this place of torment. He sought to reason with Abraham on that occasion. If we get the idea in mind, that it is because that there was a rich man involved, that he was a person who was rejected by God, And we get in mind that it is the case that the poor man was a very spiritual man, and that's because he was poor that he ended up in the paradise of God. We really get ourselves into a quandary. Well, back in the book of Deuteronomy, in reference to this matter of having blessings and doing blessings and so forth and so on, it is noted to us in Deuteronomy chapter 13, in reference to the work that we have and the wonderful blessings that we have and how we do not need to take advantage of others. He even mentions to it, you and me, as we read along in this section of the book of Deuteronomy, how that there will be people who are in poor and in need, and they'll call upon you. And how the Lord said, to have faith in me that I will reward you, I'll take care of you, and extend your hand to that one who extends his hand upward to you, asking for and seeking for assistance and help. It is plainly noted here in Luke 16 and verse 20 that the beggar named Lazarus was full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Found himself only comforted by the tongue of the dogs that came and licked his sores. He died and was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The idea of hope is the idea of our studies today. And when mankind comes to this particular point in life, that there is death to occur due to illness, due to old age, due to circumstances beyond his control, here we find them all together on life's other side. Significant that Abraham lived the least of which would have been well over 12 centuries of time, before the time, maybe even longer, before the time of this occasion. Yet he saw him, recognized him. Matches up what we read in 1 John in reference to the fact that we shall know as we are known. On life's other side, we find ourselves seeing people we never met here. But by name and reputation, the biblical characters are such as this. It is said that he knew him. He saw him afar off, and he called unto him and spoke unto him in terms of great respect in the words of Father Abraham. He reasoned with him about first off his request for mercy to be extended to him. But you'll notice that he had no hope in that mercy to be extended at that point in his time. He was reminded that there was two different lifestyles that were lived while upon this earth, and that he now had the reverse of what he had here on earth. As we read in regard to this matter, we raise the question of his brother's mercy that he saw. Not for himself, but for his five brothers that he had back at home. These brethren at home, he said, were practicing life as he remembered, much as he had practiced life. And the fact was that they likely would end up in the same place of torment. He questioned Father Abraham about the possibility of sending Lazarus back for a resurrection from the dead to talk to these brethren of this man. The reasoning here tells us a lot about what God really intended. For Abraham said to him immediately, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, if they heard Moses and the prophets, notice Moses in the time of the book of Deuteronomy, for example, they would have noted this particular thing take place. The prophets like Joshua, Isaiah, and others would have told them about a way of life to live. A way of life to beat their swords and plowshares, their spears and the pruning hook. That would ultimately come about in the teaching of the Lord's church. This man had Moses and the prophets back here, these men did. And this man had Moses and the prophets while he lived on earth. But he paid a little attention to Moses and the prophets. And he was persuaded that when this was voiced by Abraham, that Moses and the prophets would not be very influential with his five brethren either. So he reasoned further. He reasoned that if one went from the dead, they would be persuaded to repent. He invokes this word. They would turn around if they saw someone come to them from the dead. Abraham reasoned with him that it's because of faith in the word of the prophets of God that there would be some excuse rendered. There would be something that would happen that would cause these individual brethren to not be persuaded by Abraham, even though he came to them from the dead. Because Moses and the prophets is the way God wanted them to be converted, to be repented, to change their lives. The word of God was what he trusted in. That is, the Lord trusted in them. He wanted them to be taught that way. We have been thinking since we're on the other side of this account that there are a lot of things that might happen. Like someone who supposedly died and suddenly come back, mankind might think that he didn't die at all. And this was a hoax among the hoaxes of life and not paying attention to what was saying. One might think in regard to this matter that he was coming back from the dead uniquely to them, and he ought to be talking to the rest of the worst people in the world in which they were living. After all, they may have fared sumptuously every day, clothed in linen and purple. They may have been well off, but others were lesser able to do things than they had been preaching. And whether they thought it would be a hoax or whatever the reason might be, that we could venture on this side, we know the Apostle Paul addressed the thought in regard to the gospel and placed the gospel and noted that we are to live by faith and not by sight. That we are to be taught the word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the idea of having testimonies from the dead to persuade mankind you need to get right with the Lord. Taking a one-up, you might say, on the word of God being preached and taught. That should have the influence in our hearts to maintain the hope. It matches up with what is said regarding hope in our initial passage we used this morning in Romans 8, verse 24, does it not? He said, you're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? The idea of that trust, that hope, being a saving power, rests upon a teaching that spiritually converts our hearts, changes our minds about where we're going and what we're doing. And as a result, we repent, turn away from the way of life of wrong, because we believe that this account that is given in Luke 16 would put us in line with those five brethren that the rich man had. We really need to heed when Jesus said, a greater one than John is here to speak to you. We really need to hear the word of the gospel, which is the power of God to save, of which Paul said he was not ashamed. We really do need to apply that teaching to our lives. And when you do it in proper way, it will compel us to, with tears in our eyes and a lump in our throat and with a great, great sense of relief within our soul, to come back to the Lord, to turn away from evil and wrongdoing, be a servant of the Lord, and live. live in that hope. Well, these men had no hope. They were without hope of being comforted over there, and they were without hope in being changed in their lives here upon this earth. Without hearing and paying attention to God's word, they were without hope. When we think about our lives and our example for others, we want to think about how we represent that word. And if in fact we do not represent that word in a truthful and good way, then we need to make changes in our lives. Consider with me a request that we as brethren of the Lord should often make and do perhaps often make. And the statement made in James chapter 1 about our pursuit of wisdom ourselves. If any man lack wisdom, and that comes about in that passage from an expression that means that he recognizes his lack of wisdom. He recognizes his need for greater wisdom in making choices in life. You know, wisdom is more than information. People have good information. We have information tonight about electricity. But without a meter in our hands, even though we may have a darkness here in this building, we'd be rather foolish. We wouldn't be as wise as we should be. To go up to an outlet and decide that it is hot or not hot on the basis of our touch. We'd want to put a meter there. We'd want to signify. We want to have something to tell us that this is active or it's not. This is hot or it's not. It's something that we need to attend to only after we find out for sure that it's not tied into something that's really going to hurt us and perhaps cause a great fire. And so what we do is we check it out. Well, wisdom. Wisdom is that element that timely uses the knowledge that we have. Now, wisdom would be for me I wouldn't know exactly what I'm seeing other than a charge or no charge with meter. I wouldn't know if there's a significant change there or not, or if it was something that would hurt us. My wisdom would be to call one of you that does that. And to call you, my word of wisdom would be say, please come and help us get the lights back on and bring your meter with you as you come, which would be an unnecessary thing to be said because you'd have the wisdom to know that. But the idea is to have the wisdom to utilize information in a proper way and in a timely way is involved in the word wisdom. And when we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, the Lord doesn't chastise somebody because he says, Lord, I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like I'm timely enough. Well, I don't know about the lights. It's a good question to be raised. Maybe a signal for no. The idea of being people who serve the cause of God and the right things of the Lord and the right things of the computer to decide to click off on that thing too is the hope that we want to have. And that hope of the soul is the hope that we have as we live faithfully and loyally in the cause of the Lord. And he says to ask nothing wavering. When he says, let that man ask in faith nothing wavering. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And he describes him as a man who lacks in faith, as being tossed to and fro as a vessel would be tossed along the waves of the sea or ocean or land or river. And he says to that individual, no, this is not the right thing to do. This is not the honorable way to follow. This is not the right way of the Lord. When we ask for wisdom, then let us ask for believing that we're going to receive. Let's open our eyes widely, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, that we can see the things that are around us, making a better decision, doing more timely good than we would do otherwise. For we ask the Lord of wisdom to do these things. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before we do a gospel meeting. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before we do a children's vacation Bible school set of songs. Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom before preaching is done. We ought to find ourselves, living that life of hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? The idea is to see it with the eye of faith. See it with the eye of trust. Believing that good will come and that God's will be done in a righteous and good and honorable way. When we find ourselves living life that way, we find ourselves doing the cause of God by hope. Let me beg of you tonight in this regard that we make our missionaries a part of that wisdom request and that hope of the soul too. Let's not become a congregation of people, I don't believe we are, and let's not ever become a congregation of people that simply say, we'll send a check. We'll take care of somebody's financial need. Let's send prayer along with every gift and every donation that we make. Let's involve God with every activity of which we serve. Let's not break a visit without a thought of prayer on behalf of the ones that we're going to see and the words that we obviously we will say. We're right. Let's not just do personal work ourselves. Let's not just take groceries to someone ourselves. Let's not just write a check and send it to a missionary ourselves. Let's involve faith more and the idea of hope more. And if we're ever tempted with the idea of just seeing, now let me apply this to this. If we ever have the temptation to say to ourselves, boy, that sermon is going to be there, and I see now that I have 20 minutes that I can check out. I have seen 20 minutes that I can rest my eyes. 20 minutes that I can take a nap. Nobody will recognize it. Let's not think in regard to the fact that we're at a worship service and not worshiping. That we're not bowing before the Lord. Praying for the statements that are being made. What I'm saying is, let's not get into the habit as preachers of saying, I'm preaching it, and that's all there is to it. No, there's more to it. There's a prayer for good, a prayer for godliness, a prayer of great love that may go into the hearts and souls of individuals and compel them to be closer to the Lord than ever have they been. Let's preach it that way. Let's also not be guilty of sitting in an audience of people and thinking about a preaching that's going on, that this is going nowhere fast and I'm not learning anything and benefiting at all from this. Let's not apply the word mine and me to it and think about just our own self. Let's think in regard to this is a message of the gospel. This is truth that's being taught. And though I may know it very well, there may very well be some others here that don't know that very well. I believe a lot of gospel preachers fail in that regard in local congregation to teach the fundamental basic teachings of salvation from sin, worship of God, and the doctrines of the Lord that are so special to the Lord. And are taught in the Bible, doctrine regarding marriage, regarding the Holy Spirit, regarding how to live faithfully and serve faithfully from day to day. Those doctrines that are taught in God's Word are to be implemented and practiced in our daily walk of life. We're to have the hope of the soul involved in this. Do you not see all of these things wrapped up in this account given here in Luke 16, 19 through 31, about the rich man's lifestyle? And Lazarus' lifestyle, and the lifestyle that the prophets, Moses and the prophets, said for the people to live. And the idea that they did not live that way, some of them did not. And that they would have no hope beyond this life. And that it's not enough for us to say, well, rich man better had enjoyed it as he lived. He did enjoy it as he lived. He enjoyed what he did without much thought regarding this man and his kingdom. If he were ever told by the helpers and by the workers or by his brethren that walked by that this man was there, the scripture seems to indicate that he knew this man suffered in his time, that he was enjoying his lifestyle in his time. It seems that he did know. The point is well made here, that we can be people who serve the Lord with a great hope when we have faith too, our asking the Lord for wisdom to live, to worship, to serve, to teach, to do whatever we do in life. We ask the Lord to be involved in marriage, in the Holy Spirit, God instills of understanding, and the understanding of the kingdom, the understanding of redemption, the understanding of his wonderful grace and love to us. It'll be too late on my service time. If that is the truth of Luke 16. Some have sought to say Luke 16, it's a parable that Jesus gave to us, and that it doesn't have the full impact of some of the other teaching that Jesus gave. Well, there are two or three things about that. One thing is that parables, in their common way, do not have identification names. Lazarus is by name in this particular account. And that by itself takes away from it being just a parable. Secondly, it's the very reverse in Luke 16 of what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is a heavenly scene attempting to apply it back to earth by the rich man's request that Lazarus be sent back to earth through his five brethren. So you see, it's the very opposite of the definition and description of the parable. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Here we have a heavenly event that's taking place here after this life, attempting to apply it back to earth. And then the third thing in this regard. What parable do we not really think has a measure of great authority? Consider one. In reference to this matter in Luke chapter 8, here is a description of the sower who goes forth to sow his seed. Did he have seed? Did he sow it on some the good ground? Did he sow it on some the rocky ground? Did he sow it on some the thorny ground? Yes. And Jesus gives explanation to those disciples who come to him afterwards and say, explain to us what this really means. And Jesus said those thorns are those things that grow up and choke out the word in a person's life. And the dry ground is that ground that receives and quickly it withers away because it lacks the moisture. It lacks the encouragement of staying faithful to the Lord. What do we seek to do when we read parables? We seek to make the application of those parables to the way that we should behave and do and live in our life. Well, think about it. If it were a parable, what would it mean about a man who's poor and dies, and by the angels he delivered the bosom of Abraham, and a rich man who did not care, did not concern himself with Moses of the prophets while he lived on earth, and he died. And on life's other side, the indication here is he wished he had. And the idea about Abraham is that Abraham wished he had too. He had the love of Abraham over there, telling him they have Moses and the prophets. If we'll be people who pay attention to God's word and love him in the righteous way, hopefully it will be the case that we find our lives rejoicing in that hope after this life. So let's think about our relationship to the Lord, and as we sing this word of thought and encouragement to us tonight, let's apply what we know in our lives. Are we people living by faith? Are we people judging the service and worship by faith? Are we looking to grow and have a blessing from God in this? Or have where we've been guilty of thinking the wrong way about it, not having hope and faith involved in the things that we do, and the idea that we've been doing it by ourselves, that the Lord's eyes are not open to righteous, and his ears are not open to our prayers. As Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, that's something that's not going on, and we act like that the Lord doesn't care. He's not around and doesn't know what's going on with us. The scripture seems to indicate does not. When his ears are open to our prayer, and his eyes are open to righteousness, that's something the Lord is doing all the time. Let's enjoy that life of faith that we live. I believe we'll see that any time that there's something that happens in our lives that's not up to snuff, it's not something that we would rejoice in, it's not something that we would say it's a good thing to happen, but we could look up to the heavens and say, Lord, this is here, and I'm dealing with it in hope and faith that I can survive it, that I can be a good example for you, and that I'll be the person that you want. And because of that, I'll live in such a joyful way of life that my friends around me, instead of seeing that I live on the circumstances of life and despair and doubt and hesitation, I'll live on the side of faith and hope and wisdom, and as a result, be a mighty influence to everyone around me. That's the way to live. As we sing together, think about the lessons of the Lord. Stand and sing.
Standing patiently waiting in the suspended demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweet bells are calling, oh, wonderful for me. If I believe my calling, I will find the living. Though my heart lies sun, he will lie open wide. Though he rebuke and chase sun, he shall not be alive.
Do we have any other news or announcements that we didn't have from this morning? Well, we have a men's business meeting after service tonight.
Susan Mueller let us know this morning in plenty that she is much improved from her health situation that occurred last year and the first few months of this year. We are removing her name from the name of this, but our prayer is to give thanks. She's thankful for it, and thank you. She says she's much better.
Let's turn to number seven, and Calvin will be dismissed.
I'm usually in that voice tonight.
All hail the power of Jesus, the Savior, and Jesus, our Savior, and all. Praying for the Lord, 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 the Lord
Thank you again. For this opportunity to be here. We have gathered to continue for us.
Man, he loses the voice I hear.